This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay. Today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners. You may call Payroll Vault for more details at 925-273-7020. Most of my guests on Business by the Bay are from the Bay Area. However, today we have a remote guest, and I'm really excited to be with Mark Bullock. And he is one person who has a mission in life that is to make a difference for others. And he chose to make a difference in the world and currently endeavors to fulfill this mission through having co-founded VideoSocials.net and VideoInterviewPodcasts.com. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, AJ. I'm doing very well. And thank you for being on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. That's going to be published soon. So we have already had a conversation, and I really appreciate that. And I did want to make just a minor adjustment to your introduction. Is I do make a difference for those, but I kind of qualify that as I make a difference for those who make a difference in the world.
Awesome, Mark. And, you know, thank you for having me. It's like most of the time I'm talking to my guests, so it was slightly different where I was doing most of the talking because I love to listen and hear from the experts all the great things that they are doing. That's why I'm very excited today to learn more about you and see what all you are doing. So why don't we start with your journey, your story?
So without making it something really long, I think that it's important to understand that where I'm at right now and what I'm doing is not something I could have foreseen at all when I first graduated high school, went into the military, et cetera, because I have no internal desire to be on stage or be in front of an audience or be on video or anything like that. And so to try to connect the dots, though, between that and someone who has produced well over 1,000 pieces of content, nearly, I think, over 700 videos at this point, 50-something video podcasts, et cetera, who at one point was terrified of public speaking. Really, I think you'll identify with because of something that you talked about on my podcast, which was that, you know, being in the mindset of learning and being in the mindset of growth rather than grow up, we go to school, we get, you know, an education, we settle into a career, may have something to do with our education, may not. And essentially we fall into the resistance of change. And so again, my background, I enlisted in the United States Coast Guard out of high school and spent 4 years in that and went in on a guaranteed school. So I'm actually an engineer by trade. And by the time I got out, I wanted nothing to do with that anymore. I'm highly, highly mechanically inclined, I guess you could say. But I really wanted to do something that was not climbing around dirty engine bays and et cetera. And one of the first jobs I had out of the military was, well, I knew how to work with my hands, but I wanted to do more work with my brain. And so I went to work for a locksmith. And then that transitioned almost immediately into selling safes, right? Because they stock safes. And I wasn't even used to talking to people, right? So, you know, people would come in, there's a little locksmith shop, whatever. And I just bring up, you know, do you have a safe for your valuables? You stick in the closet or something. Anyway, the oddest thing, but I really enjoyed and was very successful very quickly. Just because I wasn't trying to sell anything, I was just having conversations with people and et cetera. Then went on to car sales, and again something I never had the slightest interest in. But in that process, I realized I had no idea what I was doing. So I read everything I could get my hands on about being, you know, the world's greatest salesperson.
Right.
And I learned a lot. And I at the same token, I think salespeople get a bad rap, at least the ones who are honest and authentic, which I would do nothing else but.
Right.
Because I would never take advantage of anyone. Just couldn't do it. It's not my nature. And I was in car sales, I think a year and a half or something like that. And I had people flying in from out of state to buy cars from me because I had developed a reputation as a straight shooter and somebody who wasn't going to take advantage of anyone and was honest. And, you know, so I kind of rose to the top of that field. But, you know, the car dealership got bought out by a larger conglomeration and they didn't like the way that I sold. They wanted me to sell a different way. And so I moved on and into a completely different industry and sort of doing custom pools. In-ground pools and whatnot. And then my wife had taken a job for a tool and equipment rental business, and he wanted to sell the business. And so I knew tools and equipment. I had, you know, strong mechanical background, but I had no idea how to run a business. And so he took me on and I ended up buying that business, selling that years later. And then just for whatever reason, I had taken an interest in personal computers. This was literally back with the original IBM PC, et cetera. And guess what? Before you know it, I sold the tool and equipment rental business and I started being a computer consultant. And one of my clients that I was working with asked me, well, what makes somebody a computer consultant? And I thought about it for a second. I said, well, I guess it basically comes down to, can you spell it on a business card? And in that moment, I realized I was practicing what I was doing from the beginning of when I started doing it, long before I had any idea what I was doing. And I learned by doing. And that carried forward and in this process, I needed to build that computer consultancy. And I had a friend that said, you know, you've got to, you know, do library talks and you got to get out there and do things. And so you got to market yourself. And I was terrified of public speaking. I'd never even stood up, never been to a networking organization, never mind stood up in front of a room. So I joined Toastmasters and had an anxiety attack in my first speech there. And a gentleman stood up to give me feedback or an evaluation of my talk. And I had tunnel vision. I literally thought I was going to pass out. And he said, what a wonderful voice. And that was a turning point because it was like, I thought I had done horribly. I thought, you know, these people are going to laugh at me, et cetera, et cetera. And he gave me the right amount of support at the right time. And fast forward a year, I think, and I was president of the club, had launched two new clubs in an established area. Long story short is, and then I went on to sell my computer consultancy practice and started a new company, moved from Hawaii to the New York area. And before long, I was an outsourced technical architect for major financial firms in Manhattan, et cetera. And again, I was deep in technology, but it was all about being able to communicate.
Right.
Because I was giving presentations to boards of major financial institutions about technology. So I had to take stuff that, because I was the type of guy that I would read those 800 page manuals. Remember back in the day, you go to the library or you go to the bookstore and you go to the computer section and they had these, you know, 800 page, 1,000 page manuals all lined up. Well, I was the guy who read all that, right? So that willingness to learn, or that really desire to learn and be great at something, but really only interested in being great at it if it really made a difference for the organizations that were, you know, and I just saw technology and what was possible. I mean, I was on the internet when Mozilla hadn't even created the first browser yet. Right. So I had an email address. People were like, what's an email address? I saw so much possibility and so much opportunity for what was possible. Fast forward to work with my business partner, Bikram Rajan, and he had created something called Practice Marketing Advisors. And this was really just sitting down with attorneys and CPAs and financial advisors, et cetera, and teaching them how to market themselves through word of mouth marketing, through networking primarily, but actually making a system out of it and doing it consistently and doing it in a way that made a difference. Before long, we realized the biggest thing was social media was taking off and people needed to be doing newsletters and social media posts and blog posts for their websites, et cetera. We couldn't drag the content out of them. So I invented a process by which I'd have an editor call them, interview them for 5 or 10 minutes. We transcribed that, turned it into an article. They're the author. They're not having to outsource it either in country or overseas.
Right.
They're the author. It's their words. It's just well-crafted and grammatically correct and proofed and QA'd. And so we became blog publishers, essentially. in doing that. And people found that to be very unique and interesting. And then I think 3.5, just almost 4 years ago now, we came up with the concept of Video Socials. And Video Socials was born out of, again, trying to get content out of people, but in the medium of video, because video is now taken over.
Right.
It's the written word is not dead. Podcast audio is not dead. Obviously, we're doing a podcast right now.
Yeah.
But what has become very, very clear is that people that you're messaging to, people that you're talking to, the conversation that you're trying to have with people is going to be far more impactful and far more relatable if they can see you and hear you. And guess what? The energy that we project carries through on camera.
Right.
Right. So people get to know us, get to know, like, and trust us before ever picking up the phone to call us.
Yeah.
And that is the experience. Well, how do you do that in the realm of, you know, public speaking is like the second most, you know, terrifying thing in the world to almost everybody. And being on camera is entirely different than being in front of an audience. We get together 5 to 10 people at a time, and we take turns recording our 2 or 3 minute video blog posts or advertisements, whatever it is that we're creating with video. And we support and encourage each other. We learn from each other, and we give each other feedback to what really worked, you know, what was most memorable, what landed for us, what might we consider, you know, adjusting a little bit for the next time around, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's a safe place to practice, safe place to experiment. And I was mentioning when we first got on the call, as it were, I got an email today from a member that was just inspiring. And because of a video that I had created as part of the program that they were inspired by, and they were going to share it with others that they wanted to inspire. Right. So it's like very, very fulfilling. And then, of course, there's Video Interview Podcast, which is the platform that you and I recorded our, you know, my podcast with, which is we're taking this concept of having a video, a podcast interview and actually doing it on video. Perhaps live if people are interested in doing that, but more importantly, to actually have a conversation on camera so that people can see us interact, see us shaking our heads or agreeing, or disagreeing, or whatever it is that we're doing, a human conversation between two intelligent people that are focused on a topic is incredibly compelling. And so that's what we're doing now. The vast majority of our clients and members of Video Socials and VIP and Phone Blogger are all difference makers. They're all people who make a difference in the world through the businesses and services that they provide. And that was my slight correction in your introduction. Right. Because I'm not an empire builder, and I don't serve empire builders. I serve people that are trying to make the world a little better place in one way, shape, form, or another.
Amazing. Like, you know, you mentioned about your journey, and there are so many things that you touched upon. And there are so many things to pick and learn. And one of the things that I noticed, what you were saying, key things. One was learning, that you were willing to learn all along. And secondly, when it comes to sales, it's not about closing the deal as such, that may be the ultimate goal, but it's more about education, where you were trying to educate and provide the right information, provide the right consultancy to the potential people who were trying to come to you to buy something. So you were, rather than selling, you were educating them. Being a consultant, that, you know, shot you to one of the most successful car salesperson with a good reputation. Right. So that's another thing. And the third is even getting out of your comfort zone. And I can relate to that, like you mentioned about the camera, recording videos, all that. And I've been doing, you know, radio interviews for quite a few years now, and I'm very comfortable. At the same time, when it comes to video recording, I have done very few, and I feel that's kind of something which is a little bit out of my comfort zone. I'm not that, like, today, if you ask me, can you do a radio interview? I can just, even if I'm in the sleep, I'll say, yeah, sure. Give me 5 minutes and I'm ready. But if you ask me that, okay, hey, let's come on a video interview, then I'll be a little bit more nervous because I'm not just used to, it's not completely in my comfort zone.
Right.
So
and if I may, you know, I can relate to you. Basically, I was in the same place, actually, when we started Video Socials, because we were originally looking at just doing an audio podcast kind of service. And my business partner and I were discussing it and kind of brainstorming how we would do it and what kind of platforms that we would run on and where we would provide a service that would add value that people couldn't just, you know, create on their own or know mm-hmm. automatically how to create on their own. And I started realizing, well, you know, YouTube has taken off, you know, this whole business with video. And I said, why don't we? And we had had the experience of, you know, calling people and interviewing them to transcribe content for text. So it wasn't going to be really difficult to put together an audio. But I thought, you know, if we really want to be different, why don't we consider doing on video? And he thought it was a brilliant idea. And mm-hmm. I immediately, you know, my anxiety went through the roof because it's like, yes, I had gotten comfortable in being on stage, mm-hmm. which is something I have no interest in personally. I'm an introvert, but no interest whatsoever. But I do want to make a difference for others.
Right.
And so in acknowledging and doing the research and what are the statistics, et cetera, and the stats are all in, as I often say. Mm-hmm. And the stats are, if you're not doing video, you're really hampering the potential of the mm-hmm. content that you're creating and the difference that it can make for those that consume it. Mm-hmm. Because where do people go when they want to learn about something or do something in 2023? 44% of all U.S. residents over the age of 18 use YouTube daily for mm-hmm. exactly that, right? So
yeah.
almost as much as they would listen to the news on television or watch mm-hmm. the news on television or listen to a radio, they're on YouTube.
Right.
Right. So it's a free platform. Why mm-hmm. wouldn't we be there? Well, we wouldn't be there because of this nervousness about this whole concept about being on camera. Right. So what we're nervous about, because I'm saying this for myself, because this was what I was nervous about is mm-hmm. that I thought that I had to be something other than who I was on camera. Mm-hmm. I had the experience of looking at, listening to, and paying attention to television mm-hmm. for, you know, the past 40, 50, 60 years, however long I've been watching television, probably since I was 5 or 6 years old, and I'm a little over 60 now. So in looking at it from that perspective, I thought I had to be like the 11 o'clock newscaster.
Yeah.
Right?
And that puts pressure.
But I'm a YouTube consumer.
Right.
So then I re-looked at it and I said, what am I watching? What mm-hmm. am I paying attention to? Who do I relate to and why am I watching YouTube instead of watching television? I don't even turn on television anymore. What am I looking for? I was looking for authenticity. I was mm-hmm. looking for real people having real conversations, making suggestions, giving advice, giving reviews, et cetera, et cetera. But these are real people, blemishes and all, not perfect lighting, no makeup, sorry, you know, less than ideal cameras, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, something that wasn't overproduced, something that was an entire mm-hmm. crew didn't come together.
Right.
To create this illusion, teleprompters, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. It was real people having a conversation with a camera. And the ones that were the most successful were the ones that drew me into believing that they were having a conversation with me.
Awesome.
So yeah. We built Video Socials, and that is exactly what we all practice to do. We are each other's surrogate audience instead of mm-hmm. staring at this inanimate object called a camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're recognizing that the audience's eyes is that camera. And in doing so, we're still on screen. And so we, through our peripheral vision, we can see each other smiling and nodding and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we're getting that audience feedback. We don't feel like we're speaking into the void. We're speaking to people. Mm-hmm. Because as I often say, if you can have a consult with somebody, if you can sit across the desk on the couch next to, you know, across the kitchen table, if you can have a conversation with someone and you can have a one-on-one, you can produce video. It's just a matter of practice.
Right.
And getting a little bit of feedback and that little bit of others' perspectives. Because this is the other thing. We are our own worst critic.
Yeah.
Right. So we think we said what we said, what we thought we said, and we think that we're coming across the way that we think we're coming across. The reality is that we're probably shortcutting ourselves, because we are all capable of having a huge impact on others if we're authentically ourselves. And so the biggest learning lesson for me, and it took quite a bit of practice to get there,
mm-hmm.
dozens of videos, dozens of practices of doing mm-hmm. videos, was to learn how to be myself on camera.
Right.
And just as you and I are actually recording across Zoom right now, and we're mm-hmm. looking at each other because we want to be able to see each other and have a conversation.
Yeah.
The only difference between producing something like this in audio and producing like something like this in video is our own willingness to be vulnerable, to allow mm-hmm. people to see how we really are in a conversation. That's how what that's what they're going to see when they're going when they pick up the phone and talk to you. That's what they're or what they're going to hear and they're, what they're going to see when they're sitting across the desk from you anyway. Yeah. So it's like people, it's, what should I wear when I'm creating my videos? Whatever you wear when you sit down and have a consult with a client.
Right.
Right. Are you a three-piece suit, you know, Manhattan attorney, or are you, you know, sport jacket and tennis shoes? Yeah. Whatever it is, it's appropriate as long as it's real and it's authentically you. Always want to be your best self, you know. Like my partner, my business partner Vic says, you know, fix your hair, just don't obsess about it.
No, this is extremely valuable information that you're providing, because a lot of times we can be too harsh on ourselves and be, you know, almost fearful. You know, it's too difficult. We can't do it. And that's why we are not able to communicate the way we want to. On the other hand, based on your experience, you are able to bring in so many people, thousands of videos that you have shot. Those people are now able to communicate through their videos. Mm-hmm. So any example that you want to give, or, you know, share some experiences that people may relate to, that, okay, hey, I could also, or I would like to do it. I have not done it. Or they may say something like, I should have done this a year back. Now let me go and do it.
Well, I'll start out by saying, when's the best time? Well, you know, when would now be a good time to start? So, you know, I'll invite your audience, anybody who's a business person, a rainmaker, et cetera, that is looking to get started, or at least explore what it might look like to get started, come as a guest to Video Socials, videosocials.net. Click on the guest tab at the top of the screen. There's no cost, there's no obligation. So come in and see for yourself. Another is to realize that it's an experiential program, an experiential learning environment. We learn by doing rather than sitting down and taking courses and classes, et cetera, and then trying to translate that into actual experience. We just start right off with, well, let's just do it. It's your recording. You can throw it away. You can publish it, you know, on YouTube. You can do whatever you want with it. It's your content. You're the author. You're the person on camera. So we retain no rights. All rights are yours. And as far as examples, I would have to say there's several. One example, we have a member who is blind, who comes to Video Socials, and she's a ghostwriter. Krista Janik is her name. And her profession is she's a ghostwriter and a skier who just happens to be blind. And I take huge amounts of inspiration from her, because she can't even see what it is that she's doing. But why is she creating video? She's creating video because she knows that most of her audience can see.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and in doing so, I don't know if you know this, but someone who has a disability or has lost one of their senses, it helps to focus the other senses to be even more in tune.
Yeah,
she has an incredible ear and an incredible ability to write. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, if I was to ever write a book and want to hire a ghostwriter or someone to co-author it with me, she would be the first call that I would make, as an example. And she's made dozens and dozens of videos, and every single one of them are an inspiration. Another is Debbie Harris. And Debbie has spoken to international audiences and stood in front of large crowds. And I talk about marketing and social media and all kinds of other things. Very, very intelligent, very well spoken, incredible in front of a crowd. And I remember very distinctly her first time at Video Socials. She said, I have no idea. How do I translate this? You know, I'm perfectly capable in front of an audience, and I, you know, the camera goes on and I, you know, I'm ready to chew my nails off. Right. And fast forward, she's one of our first members, and she's now about 4 years in. I'm sure she has well over 100 videos that she's produced. She's complete natural on camera. It was just a matter of translating the skill, going through the practice and doing it with others. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's another component of this, trying to sit down and make the time to create a video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we think we have to write out a script. We have to do all this preparation. We have to dress a certain way. We have to, you know, set up a kind of stage our background, et cetera, et cetera. And to some extent, I mean, yeah, you can do that, you know, if you need that to kind of act as a crutch. But I always tell people, the sooner you can get away from having any script or any notes, the better. Well, I'm going to forget. Put it in the next video.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a one-time thing. We don't have sales conversations. We don't have consults. based off of, this is the only time I'm ever going to do this, and so I have to get it perfect. We are willing to practice. Lawyers call their practices practices because it's a practice. Doctors practice medicine. CPAs practice tax law, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So it is only through practice that we can get there. And the more practice that we have, the more comfortable that we become, the more confident that we become that who we are as a conversationalist, whether it be coach, advisor, consultant, whatever it is, the more comfortable and confident that we are as a conversationalist, the more value we can add, et cetera.
Amazing. This is really, you know, very, very valuable because there are so many pointers that you have given, and we are now almost towards the end of the show. So I would like to summarize by asking you, which is kind of one of my favorite questions I always love to ask, is that if you have to give any suggestion to a group of business owners, what would you tell? And you work with so many business owners and they come and they express themselves in a very authentic manner. So you may have seen like what works for them, what doesn't work for them. So based on your experience, if you are to talk to a group of business owners and give any suggestion, what would you say?
I would say that what was missing from my life before I started this, I didn't realize was missing. And that was a form of self-expression. And that and then the realization of that self-expression could truly have a positive impact on others. My willingness to tell my story, my willingness to tell others' stories, my willingness to learn, because I've watched thousands of people make these 2-3 minute presentations. You don't think I haven't learned something from that? I'm learning all day, every day. And in learning and sharing and self-expressing what I'm learning, because everything that I learn, I share on video. It's at videosocials.net. There's 500 plus videos that are there right now. YouTube channel has, you know, almost 700 videos. That's all from my learning from others, and just be willing to share it. And the, not just the sense of accomplishment or the sense of enjoyment to get that satisfaction from having helped somebody, you know, it really is the root of inspiration. And my podcast happens to be called Inspiring Business, which is, again, because I've met and learned from so many people that have inspiring stories and have inspiring businesses that I wanted to give them voice. I wanted to have a deeper conversation, something beyond a 2-3 minute video. And so we created Inspiring Business for that. And someone that I know was on recommends somebody else. And then that somebody recommends somebody else. And before you know it, I'm meeting AJ and I, and we're literally having a conversation. We don't know each other on video that I think is incredibly valuable for anyone that wants to watch it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mark, for sharing your wisdom and spending the time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I thank you.
And listeners, you know, so learning, sharing, and also expressing ourselves. If you are looking into all these things and want to grow, I would recommend that visit videosocials.net and feel free to reach out to Mark. So I hope you all enjoyed the show today. And this was brought to us today by Payroll Vault. And we will be back next weekend. Until then, you all take care and have a great time.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.